What a wonderful new year, isn't it? Isn't it always an exciting time when we get to this point? Everything's new, everything's fresh. We finally got a sunny day, amen? Man, it's been exceptionally cold here in Colorado, and I will pass. So as we continue in Philippians, we're jumping back into chapter 3. And the last time we talked in chapter 3, we were looking at how Paul had a pretty amazing life before coming to Christ. How everything had kind of fallen into place for him, and he could have lived a very comfortable and successful life. But what ended up happening was Jesus coming on the road to Damascus, and he realized that all of that comfort, all of the things that he could have had, were like garbage. They were completely and totally worthless in comparison to Jesus Christ. And he said that the only thing that was really worth knowing was the power of Jesus' resurrection, joining in his suffering, and becoming like him in his death so that we might attain a resurrection like his. The only thing that became important to the Apostle Paul was Jesus Christ suffering for him and living his life so that he might attain eternal salvation. And in Philippians chapter 3, verses 12 through 14, Paul continues on. He says, "Not that I have already obtained all of this, or have already arrived at my goal, but I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Brothers and sisters, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining towards what is ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus." You see, Paul, in being called, recognized that there was something better. And that something better, getting there, was going to take being on a journey. He had to go somewhere. Now, when we look at our faith journey, a lot of times I think people get it wrong. They look at their faith journey, and one of the big mistakes that happens in a lot of Christianity is that people look and they go, "I have attained. I have achieved. I believe Jesus Christ is Lord. I believe he's the Son of God. I have accepted him as Savior, and I have finished my journey. I'm there. Mission accomplished. I've accepted him. Everything's good. My life is perfect." Or they think to themselves that, well, maybe in my faith walk, I can just choose to walk at certain times. I don't have to walk my faith journey every week. I can just walk my faith journey when there's not warm weather to go boating in. Or I can walk my faith journey just on Sundays. I'll come in on Sunday, and maybe if I wake up early enough, I'll go to Bible class. But if not, I'll just show up for service, and everything will be fine. And I will walk out my faith in this way, but I don't have to worry because my mission is complete. I've already attained. And you see, when we look at what Paul says here, he doesn't say that at all. He says, not that I have attained this goal, this eternal goal. I haven't quite got there yet. He's moving in the right direction, but he's not quite there. You see, when we look at our faith journey, we have to realize that it wasn't a one-time deal. We didn't make a commitment one day and then have an ability to just turn around and say, you know what, I'm not feeling up to being a Christian for a while. I'm going to take a break and I'll come back to it sometime later. See, the danger of this is something that the preacher writes about in Hebrews chapter 2, verses 1 through 4. Because what we're looking at is a group of people who are thinking to themselves, I've become a Christian, I believe in Jesus, I've accepted him as Lord and committed my life to him, but being a Christian is getting hard. Christians are getting persecuted. And they were considering going back to Judaism. And this is what the preacher says to them. We must pay careful attention, therefore, to what we have heard, so that we do not drift away. For since the message spoken through the angels was binding, and every violation and disobedience received its just punishment, how shall we escape if we ignore so great a salvation? This salvation, which was first announced by the Lord, was confirmed to us by those who heard him. God also testified to it by signs, wonders, and various miracles, and by the gifts of the Holy Spirit, the Spirit distributed according to his will. You see, the fact of the matter is, drifting away is not an option. If we choose to go back to the world, if we choose to walk away from our commitment and to say, you know what, I already said it, I have committed my life, I say, yes, Jesus, you're Lord, but I go about living my life as I always have, and we think that we're going to walk up to Jesus and go, you're Lord, I said it, I'm in, excuse me, that it's going to work like that. It doesn't. Our faith journey is something more. Paul is telling us, I didn't simply achieve because I have accepted the gospel. I have to keep pressing forward. There's more to my faith than simply just saying I believe in Jesus. It's something that has to call to me. It's something that has to move out of me and flow out of me. Well, the next big thing that I think people get wrong on their faith journey is, okay, well, I have to live it every day, therefore my works are getting it done. I have to do this every day, I have to be a faithful Christian, and therefore I'm going to earn my salvation. I'm going to reach a point where I've done enough that God will forget about all the bad things that I've done in my life and will accept me into heaven. And so once I become a Christian, I start earning my brownie points. And at the end, God's going to look and go, oh, okay, well, good. You got more brownie points after you became a Christian, so you're good to go. Well, that would be pretty unfortunate for people who came to the Lord late in life, wouldn't it? Be awful hard to tick up those brownie points. See, the truth is, the Apostle Paul, if anybody could have earned brownie points, would have been the guy. I mean, you talk about a man who, coming to the Lord, changed everything about himself. In 2 Corinthians 11, verses 23 through 28, it says this, are they servants of Christ? I am out of my mind to talk like this. I am more. I have worked much harder, been in prison more frequently, been flogged more severely, been exposed to death again and again. 5 times I received from the Jews the 40 lashes minus one. 3 times I was beaten with rods. 1 I was pelted with stones. 3 I was shipwrecked. I spent a night and a day in the open sea. I have been constantly on the move. I have been in danger from rivers, in danger from bandits, in danger from my fellow Jews, in danger from Gentiles, in danger in the city, in danger in the country, in danger at sea, and in danger by false believers. I have labored and toiled, and I have often gone without sleep. I have known hunger and thirst, and have often gone without food. I have been cold and naked. Beside everything else, I face daily the pressure of my concern for all the churches. You talk about a guy that's got some good brownie points there, huh? A guy that's got everything on track. And yet, what does he say? I still have not attained what I am achieving. I still haven't quite gotten to that goal. Now, if you listen to it and you accept the premise that you have to work for it, this gets really scary. I don't know about you, I haven't been shipwrecked. Nobody's beaten me with a rod. At most, I've had people mock me and call me foolish. Man, I'm not stacking up very well, am I? But you see, the fact is that it's not about being perfect. It's not about being good enough. And Paul explains this in Romans chapter 4, verses 1 through 5, in discussing Abraham. says, what then shall we say? That Abraham, our forefather, according to the flesh, discovered in this matter? If, in fact, Abraham was justified by works, he had something to boast about, but not before God. What does the Scripture say? Abraham believed God, and it was credited to him as righteousness. Now, to the one who works, wages are not credited as a gift, but as an obligation. However, to the one who does not work, but trusts God, who justifies the ungodly, their faith is credited as righteousness. You see, what Paul is telling us here is that it's not about being perfect. It's not about having it all figured out. It's about belief. You see, when we look at Paul and when we look at Abraham, we see people who completely and totally dedicated their life to the Lord. Even when Paul was persecuting the church, he was doing it in the name of God. He truly believed that he was doing the right thing. And Abraham, it was the same thing. He was working, he was trying to accomplish everything that God asked him to do. And yet, no matter who we look at, whether it's the leaders of Israel, whether it was the prophets, whether it was the apostles, no matter who you look at, we all come up short. But the one thing that ties all of the people who loved the Lord and who walked according to his will is that they truly believed in God. They truly believed in who he was and his message and what he was trying to do, and they sought to walk with him. You see, true belief changes us. True belief does not leave you the same person you started out as. If you truly believe in Jesus Christ and you truly believe that he died for your sins, it changes something in you. You appreciate that all of your sins are gone. You truly appreciate the fact that he's willing to forgive you, that he puts you in a place with people that love you. Your life changes. See, it's the belief that changes us. It's not the works. It's not that we work until we believe. It's that we believe and it changes our lives. It reshapes us. It remolds us so that we start to look like him. And this is my favorite part. And I really want you guys to hear this. This is my favorite part. It's okay to fall down. Do you hear me? It's okay to fall down. I want you to repeat that back to me. Let's say it louder. It's okay to fall down. We are not perfect. Abraham was not perfect. None of us. Peter denied Jesus 3 times. We will fall down. And that's the beauty of this journey that we are on, that we do not go about it perfectly. But if we continue to believe, if we continue to have faith, and we continue to seek him out, God will shape and change our hearts. He will make us into his people, a people worthy of him. Not because of our perfection, but because of our belief, because of our trust. Because we know who he is, and we know what he is trying to do for us. You see, this is our journey. A journey of true faith and belief, a belief in God and what he can do to change our lives. But this journey, just because we have grace, doesn't become simple, does it? Paul is telling us that we have to have focus. You know, when I think of a journey, most of the time I think of a road trip. You know, I think of going from point A to point B. And so when we're on a journey, typically we're on the road. And from early on in our lives, we're taught very quickly when we're driving, you keep your eyes on the road, right? That's why we have all these don't text and drive signs going on, and we've got it only took 5 seconds for you to destroy somebody's life, right? So we look at these things and we recognize that we need to keep our eyes on the road. And it's not like it's a modern thing. It's always been that way. If you look back at the olden times when merchants would try to get their products by road from one city to the next, there were a lot of dangers. I mean, they didn't have paved roads like we had, so they might be muddy, they might be beat up, and so you had to pay attention to the road ahead of you, because if you got too far and got your cart stuck in the mud, you could lose everything you had. Or there were dangers of bandits, you know, you're going through these abandoned areas and there are people there to take your merchandise. And so if you don't have your eyes facing forward, if you're not looking at what's out ahead of you, then what you're going to end up with is losing everything that you have because you weren't paying attention. Now, I'm going to tell you a story about my driving experience, because my parents, the big thing that they harped on was always keep your eyes on the road. Keep your eyes on the road. And I'm like, gosh, I know. Duh. How am I going to not hit people if I don't keep my eyes on the road? Of course I'm going to keep my eyes on the road. Well, at 18 years old, I learned why my parents harped on that. I had an awesome truck when I was 18. I mean, awesome. It was a Ford F-150 gray with a blue stripe across the middle and big, solid steel, heavy-duty truck. And I loved that truck. I loved riding in it. I loved how cool it made me feel. And I would drive that truck everywhere. I mean, I'm talking 2-3 hour trips just because I wanted to drive my truck. And in that truck, I decided that I needed a little better speakers. Yes, I too was a thumper at one point in my life, and I installed some amazing speakers in the back seat of my car, and they were perfect. Doom, doom, doom. It just sounded amazing. Well, one of the problems with that, though, is that I didn't do a very good job of tying those speakers down in the back seat. And so I hit a bump, and they flopped over. I don't know if you know this, but when you flop speakers over onto a seat, they don't thump very well. Everything gets quiet. And so I looked at the road ahead of me, and Julie's seen the place where it happened. I looked ahead of me as I was driving, and I go, oh, straight road. Everything's fine. What I'm going to do is very quickly reach around, grab the handle, pick the speakers back up. I'm going to turn around, and everything's going to be perfect. Except it didn't work out that way. I had my hand on the wheel. I turned. I reached, picked up the speaker. I turned around, and lo and behold, in front of me is a big steel mailbox. And I slammed on the brakes, and I cranked the wheel, and I, boom, destroyed that mailbox. It was solid steel. I mean, it's like that thick, solid steel. And I just knocked that thing over. And I panicked, and I drove home. And I told my uncle what I did, and he goes, well, let's go. Get in the truck. You're going back. All right. So we go. We pick up all their mail. I put it on their doorstep, and I apologize and, you know, give them my phone number so they can call, and I can pay to replace it. And, you know, it's a good thing that there are uncles to make you do the right thing. But the point of that story is that when we lose our focus, when we start to turn our eyes back and look at different places, things get off kilter. I damaged my beautiful truck. You know? And that's how life is. When we are looking back, we end up destroyed and damaged. And that's why Paul is saying, I don't look back anymore. Can you imagine what it would feel like for Paul to look back? Can you imagine the pain and the sorrow that that would cause in him to realize that these people he loved, his church family, the people that were closest to him, were the very same people that he ensured were thrown in prison, that their relatives were killed? Could you imagine the sorrow and pain that would come from that? I know you can. Maybe not on that level, but all of us have that one thing, at least that one thing that sneaks in the back of your mind sometimes and you go, oh, why did I do that? Oh. See, the past is painful. The past is damaging. The past serves no purpose for the believer. serves no purpose for the believer, because what we're doing is we're pressing forward. We're keeping our eyes moving in the right direction. You see, the beautiful thing that starts to happen when we look forward, when we start putting our eyes in the right direction, is that we, as believers, have a change that goes on. Because if I'm not dwelling on my past, all I can think about is the future. And Paul tells us that the most important thing is looking ahead. In Colossians 3, verses 1 through 4, says, "Since then you have been raised with Christ. Set your hearts on things above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on earthly things, for you died, and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory." You see, once you become a believer, all gone. Amazing grace. Whatever you did is done. No more. It doesn't exist. Your past, your mistakes, it's all gone. And let me tell you this too, it doesn't stop the day that we get baptized. His cleansing happens continually. John tells us that if you confess your sins, he is faithful to forgive. It doesn't stop just because you became a Christian. The minute that you recognize your sin, the minute that you repent of it and say, "You know what? I made those mistakes. I'm going to do the best thing I can now. I will walk in the Lord now to the best of my ability, and I will be his servant from this day forward." That is where you are, and everything else goes away. It doesn't exist. And we move forward walking in the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, the beauty of looking forward is that we've got a lot of great things to look forward to. Amen? We've got our church family to look forward to every Sunday. And I hope throughout the week, too. I hope you guys are calling each other, staying in contact, being there for each other. We have that church family to look forward to. We have a heavenly Father who loves us enough to send his Son, who loved and cared for us enough that he was willing to send his Son to die on the cross so that we can live in this beautiful state that we are in today of total and complete forgiveness. And he gave us his Holy Spirit. His Holy Spirit to dwell within us so that we can know and feel that sense of when we're getting off track and we can return and find our way home. You see, when we focus forward, beautiful things start to happen. Because we do embrace what Jesus Christ has done for us. And we don't walk around in guilt and sorrow and misery of all the mistakes we've made, of all the people we've hurt, of all the choices that have been destructive in the past. We don't walk in that. And so we feel this sense of freedom in our lives, that I can walk and talk and be free. We start to see the world differently because we start to recognize all the damaging effects of the way our life lived before was, and we don't really want it anymore. All we want is to be focused on loving our church family, to be focused on what God is doing, to be focused on being who he created us to be. And we find joy in the knowledge of the love of Christ, and it bursts out of us. You see, Jesus said himself, "Whoever is forgiven little loves little, but whoever is forgiven much loves much." And the fact of the matter is, when I can look back at my life and say, "You know what? Jesus Christ was there for me when I was unforgivable. When I was living my life in a way that was hurting everybody, Jesus Christ was there for me." And you know what he's done? He's changed my life, because I'm not a drunk anymore. I'm not the kind of person who doesn't care about people. I'm not the kind of person who does what only I want. And I'm like that because of his love for me. I'm like that because he forgave me of my sins, and he gave me the knowledge of what it feels like to walk in him, to be at peace in him. You see, when we truly are looking forward, the world just kind of drifts to the background. And it's nothing. Our past is nothing. Our mistakes are nothing. They're all gone. In Christ Jesus, we get a fresh new start every day. Every single day. And in the end, when we are there, Paul says, I'm striving for that prize. In John 14, verses 1 through 4, it says, do not let your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. My Father's house has many rooms. If it were not so, would I have told you that I am going to prepare a place for you? If I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you also may be where I am. You know the way to the place where I am going. You see, this journey, faith journey that we're on, is going to have many different roads. Sometimes it's going to seem extremely treacherous. It's going to seem like you just can't get through it. But God will bring you through. And there are going to be other days where you just feel like you're flying. You know, like you're out there on I-25, nobody's on the road, you're not worried about the police, and you're going 90 miles an hour. Just cruising. There's going to be different feels to our faith journey, but there's one truth that stands out amongst the rest. That if you take the journey, the end is the best. You know, I've always kind of liked the saying, it's not about the destination. It's about the journey. And when it comes to hiking, that may be true. I like stopping and pausing to look at the birds. But in eternity, not the case. It's not about the journey. Because the journey, the walk that we experience here on earth, if we walk it right, is going to lead to the best destination. It's going to lead to an eternity with a God who loves you, cares for you, and wants the very best for you. But the thing is, we have to accept that. If you haven't in your life accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior, if you haven't been willing to put him on in baptism, to die to yourself, to be buried with him, and to rise again to a new life, today's the day. No time to wait, because that new beginning only starts in Jesus Christ. Today is the day to make that choice. And if you are here and you've made mistakes, you've walked down the wrong road, you've gone places you shouldn't have gone, that day of the new beginning is here. Because if you choose to walk faithfully with Jesus Christ, he can make all things new. He can reshape your world and bring healing. Will you pray with me? Dear Heavenly Father, Lord God, I come before you now and I'm just so thankful for who you are. I'm thankful that you are with us, that you care for us on this journey. And Lord, I pray that our hearts are right as we walk down it, not thinking that we can skate and just be, you know, thinking that if we, just because we confessed you and accepted you, that we're in a right relationship with you, but that we realize that we have to believe and continuously walk in you. And also, Lord, I pray that we realize that we can't earn our salvation. It's not within us, that we only offer filthy rags to you, but we thank you that you accept our humble offerings. And Lord, as we go through our journey this year, I pray that you will give us the courage to walk in faith, to stay focused, so that these wrecks that can happen in our lives, these destructive, damaging things, don't happen. That we don't return to the world and see what a destructive force it is in destroying our lives. And Lord, I pray that as a church family, that we will be a place of hope, that we will be a place that people can walk into and truly embrace your amazing grace, and that they will learn to walk in you and to know the hope that comes in being your child. I pray this all in your Son, Jesus Christ's most holy name. Amen.